bless you, preacher. I appreciate you. Amen. See, it is good to be in the house of the Lord, and we appreciate the wonderful meals that have been provided by the church. And I know one thing, you all are blessed with some great cooks, and we have enjoyed the time of fellowship around the table. We've enjoyed being in the service as well. What a joy that it is to be here, and we appreciate the kindness of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, if you'll turn there with us tonight, the book of Matthew chapter number 5, begin reading in verse number 1. Seems to be that's where the Lord directed our heart, and we was actually, last week, God directed our heart to this passage of Scripture for our church, and then I had a time of fellowship with Brother Joe Bryant the other day. And God was working in his heart over the same Scripture that I just preached from. And we had a good conversation about this passage of Scripture. And I believe it's one of the needs of the hour that you and I develop a hunger and a thirst for the good things of God. And so I want to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible said, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I want to call your attention tonight to verse 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I'm going to ask Brother Josh, would you pray for me, dear preacher, tonight? Lord, just help us in this service. Oh, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I appreciate you standing to honor the reading of the 1611 Authorized Version. Thank God for our Bible tonight. As our Lord begins His famous Sermon on the Mount, we know He begins with what's known as the Beatitudes. And of course, these Beatitudes, that word speaks of a declaration of blessedness that had been made by our Savior concerning these particular virtues that are mentioned in the text that's set before us. These special statements were spoken directly to the disciples, and we note that in verse 1 and 2. Context will clearly reveal that to us. The Bible said, "When he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying..." And so, of course, this is His message to His people. We know that it's been said concerning this passage that it's been spoken into the ears of His servants, but yet it's been overheard by all the world. And I think there's a lot of truth in that statement. There's a tone in these timeless truths, and we find that it's not evangelistic, but rather revivalistic, dealing with the born-again believer. And so these truths belong to God's children. You and I that have been saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, God wants you and I to live a holy life and a godly life and a pleasing life unto the Lord. That's taught to us by the Scriptures, and that's certainly taught to us by the Holy Spirit as well, that we live soberly, righteously in God in this present evil world of which we're living in. Now, as we come to this, we know that these are insightful instructions that reveal that there are certain blessings that are placed upon certain behaviors according to the Word of God. Now, these things are not to earn God's favor. We know it's all of grace that we're saved. But yet, these are things that are pleasing and honoring unto the God of heaven. These are virtues that are valued by God, we could say tonight. And He visits them with a certain blessedness as promised in God's holy word. I'll look at the fourth such particular precept. It was stated by the Lord in that being verse number 6. He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I want to preach with the help of God tonight on the hope of a hungry heart. The hope of a hungry heart. I'd like to use that word hope tonight in the Bible way, of course, meaning a confident expectation that the Lord is going to do for us what He's promised that He's going to do. And I'm very thankful we use that word hope. We're not talking about a guessing so or a hoping so, as it be commonly used in this day and hour. But we're talking about something we can be certain of in our lives as God's people. There's some things tonight about the hope of the hungry heart that you and I need in our lives day by day as God's children. And I think some of these will indicate to us the fact that we're not as hungry and thirsty after God as we really ought to be in this hour. The first thing I find is we see the enjoyment of the seeker. The individual that is really seeking the Lord is going to enjoy their life and their walk with the Lord. This verse begins with that great word, blessed. And the blessedness is the triumphant theme of the text set before us. We find, in fact, the word is used some 9 times at the beginning of a particular verse in this passage of Scripture. And so we know the Lord is stressing to us the blessedness of these behaviors. In Bible numerology, the number 9 symbolizes divine completeness. Jesus died at the 9th hour. Of course, that's the same as our 3 p.m. And that deals with divine completion concerning the salvation of God. I'm thankful tonight that there's a finished work. Hallelujah. I'm thankful Jesus suffered, bled, and died, and made a way that the vilest sinner could come and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Then, of course, when I think about the number 9, we know in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement required a day of fasting. And that would begin on that 9th day of the 7th month, according to Leviticus 23:32. And that deals with divine completion concerning the seeking of God. There's a completion in our lives when we seek God, a fulfillment that we can enjoy as God's people as we pursue and follow the Lord. When we follow from afar, we're not really enjoying the Christian life like we really ought to. And that's why we know that he prayed in the Word of God, "Restore me the joy of thy salvation." The joy of the Lord is our strength tonight. And I'm going to say we're not very strong in this hour because many of us are not really full of the joy of God as we really should be. And it's a good evidence that we're not as hungry after God and not seeking after God as we really ought to be in our lives day by day. And so this is speaking about a fasting work in Leviticus 23:32. Then, of course, there are 9 graces that are associated with the fruit of the Spirit of God. And that points us to the fullness of power being filled with the Spirit of God. God wants us to be filled with His Holy Spirit. And I think we can say that deals with divine completion concerning the Spirit of God. It is God's desire and God's design that we live a fruitful Christian life, a life that is filled by the Holy Spirit of God. And so may the Lord help us in that area tonight in this service. But we also know this, that's Galatians 5:22-23. And this deals with a work of faith or faith's work in our life. You and I have to trust God if we're going to have the Spirit's power evidenced in our lives day by day. And then we've got to be faithful unto the Lord. And so may God help me and help you to be faithful unto the Lord. But when you and I do that, the Bible says that we will be blessed. And according to strong concordance, that means supremely blessed and happy. Thank God. I'm going to tell you, the child of God ought to be happy in Jesus. And the heart that is hungry and the heart that is thirsting after God, they're going to evidence the fact they're happy in the Lord. Amen. I just tell you, this hour in which you and I live, it's quite evident that we need a revival concerning hunger and thirst after righteousness. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Well, the evidence is all over our faces in this hour. I'm telling you, don't see a lot of joy in the house of God. Don't see a lot of thrill among God's people. But I'm telling you, there ought to be a lot of thrill among you and I if we're really hungering and thirsting after the Lord. And so may God create in us a great hunger tonight and a great thirst to pursue God and desire to draw near unto Him in tonight's service. Now, the 1828 dictionary said this about it. It speaks of the consummate bliss of the joys of heaven. I'm telling you, friend, God wants us to have a little bit of heaven here on earth in the depths of our heart. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, God wants you and I to live our lives in the joy of Christ. And so may God help us now. The underlying word is said to be used some 49 times in our King James Bible, the word blessed. It appears as the word blessed, according to that, some 43 times. It occurs as the word happy 5 times, and the word happier once. And so I can say tonight that we're blessed, we're happy and happier the more we seek God and we get hungry and thirsty after Him tonight. And so may the Lord help me and help you. It describes the happiness of the heart that is really, my friend, seeking our Lord, searching out His law and sincerely living for Him and His honor and glory day by day. And so this is a precious promise tonight that the serious seeker will be supremely satisfied with their Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, Jesus completely satisfies the hungry heart tonight. He satisfied me as far as salvation is concerned. I'm going to tell you, friend, He does more than just that. He satisfies us day by day. He is our daily bread. Hallelujah. He is the one that, thank God, satisfies my need. And He helps me along life's way. I'm telling you, if we could just have a revival of seeking the face of God, I believe there'd be a lot of more joy in our services in the house of God. Oftentimes we're busy trying to pump and prime the service. But if we just really get hungry for God again, you wouldn't have to pump and prime it. It'd already be there. And so may the Lord just do that work in us this week and help me in this particular pursuit that's pointed out. He's speaking about righteousness. And so we understand that it will produce joy and happiness in the believer's life. It's speaking of a desire to be thoroughly right with God. Now you can be saved and not be thoroughly right with God. We need to understand that tonight. There are people that are born again, but yet they've got cold on God. They've got calloused on God. And because of that tonight, they're not really operating in God's joy. They're living their life in existence, but they're not living their life excelling in the Christian journey. I'm telling you, friend, I don't want to just exist in this thing. I don't want to just take up space on a pew. Oh, no. I want my heart to hunger and thirst after the Lord. I want my life to be a spark plug spiritually. That my feet will help ignite the services and to be an encouragement to my fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it's a joy to serve Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm telling you, a lot of people treat it like it's begrudging, or they treat Christianity like it's a difficult and a hard thing. Oh, no. I'm telling you, it's the most blessed thing that you would ever enjoy is knowing Christ and being saved by the marvelous grace of God. Hallelujah. I've never got over the fact it's a joy to seek after God. Amen. The greatest pursuit we have is to pursue Him and walk after the Lord. And so tonight it is righteousness. It speaks to that desire. It is a longing to be positively holy. I want to say that ought to be in all of us that are saved. Well, we ought to have a desire to please God and honor God. I don't understand this crowd today that's all the time criticizing holy living and trying to put down those that have biblical standards. I want to tell you, friend, if it can bring me closer to the Lord and help me be more pleasing to Him, I'm all for it. Hallelujah. And you know why? It's a happy life. It's not bondage. It's blessedness to live your life for the glory and the honor of the Lord. Amen. It's only bondage if you don't love Him. And that's the problem. We have a generation of people who don't love the Lord. And that's why they consider any Bible truth to be bondage to them, because they're still in love with this whole Adamic sinful flesh. What they need is to get born again and get that new divine nature down on the inside. And I'll tell you, that new nature will only be satisfied with the Lord tonight. Amen. Thank God for the joy of being saved. And so we know this, this desire to be right with God or to be positively holy. Our seeking of righteousness must begin with the seeking of the righteous one, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2 that He is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And so now we know that He is the one that's sinless. He is holy, He is undefiled, He's separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens tonight. He's the one that did no sin. He's the one that knew no sin. And in Him is no sin according to God's holy word. I'm telling you tonight, He is a sinless, spotless Son of God. And so our pursuit of righteousness must begin with the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll never know what righteousness is until you come to Christ. in salvation and have His righteousness imputed to your account. And so I'm thankful that I'm justified tonight just as though I had never even been a sinner. Not even, listen, I'm justified as though I'd never sinned, but just as though I'd never even been a sinner in the sight of God. What a joy tonight to be saved by grace through faith in the shed blood of God's darling Son. And we know that He is the righteous one. Then Romans 3:10 said concerning sinful man, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's no man that is righteous within his own estate. We're all sinners in the sight of a holy God. But I'm thankful through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Thank God, thank God. We have His righteousness that stands to our account tonight. And so we're justified. We praise God for that. It's C.H. Spurgeon that said this. He said, holiness is not the way to Christ, but Christ is the way to holiness. I think that's so right. You got to come by the way of the cross. And if you come by the way of the cross and get born again, hallelujah, it'll make the difference in your life. And so I'm glad the Lord has made a difference in my life tonight, and I give Him praise and I give Him honor. In other words, tonight, you'll never be right with God unless you're looking to the right person.
That's right.
Our righteousness is in Christ, and so we need Him, and we need Him in the person of the Holy Spirit to empower us to live a life that's pleasing and honoring unto God. You see, it's not my power, it's not my abilities, it's not my intellect that draws me close to God. Oh no, it's the blessed Spirit of God that indwells me, that will enable me to live a life that pleases and honors Him. And so tonight I'm to live in obedience to the commands of God's Spirit as He indwells me and He guides me along the way. And so may God help us tonight in that area of being sensitive to the Spirit of God and really drawing nigh to God. As we seek the Savior and the power of the Spirit of God, we'll live a life pleasing unto God. And only then can we really live pleasing unto the Lord. Holiness will bring happiness in the heart of the hungry seeker.
Amen.
It is a pleasing thing to please God.
It
is a satisfying thing to submit to the Lord and walk in the light of His Word and His counsel. And so I'm going to say tonight, when we really get hungry for God, there'll be a renewed happiness, a renewed zeal. Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians. We talked about repentance and the truth about repentance. He talked about, yea, what zeal, what vehement desire that'll create in you and I. You know what happens when you get really, truly right with God? It brings the joy back in your life. Oftentimes the joy, it's not operating like it one time did. Not because Jesus has changed, oh no, but because you and I have changed and got away from the Lord. And so if we really begin to seek God and hunger and thirst after Him, we'll be a happy people.
Amen.
It's always an indication that something is wrong in the Christian's life when they have no joy. It's always an indication. You can have standards a million miles high, but if you have no joy, something is missing in your heart and your life. You can know every doctrinal truth in the Bible, which nobody knows at all, but you could know that if it were possible. And if you knew all of it and had all that knowledge, but you didn't have joy, something would still be wrong in the depths of your heart. You see, joy indicates that we are in communion with Christ. What joy that He brings to our life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, we ought to be happy in Jesus. Now, I want to ask you really honestly, are you really happy in the Lord tonight? Do you have joy in your heart? Here's the good question. Can your neighbor, can your spouse, can your pastor say, that is a joyful Christian in the Lord?
Amen.
Or would they have to honestly say tonight, if you was on trial for having joy, I'm sorry, there's no evidence of that. I think in all honesty, we better begin to seek God again.
Amen.
And ask the Lord to create in us a hunger and a thirsting after God like we really need in this hour. So there is tonight, there is this great enjoyment that'll be found in the seeker. But then there's the expression of the seeker. Christ uses the expression tonight about those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, Thayer said the word hunger is used metaphorically to describe those who crave ardently. Those who seek with eager desire righteousness. He says this concerning the word thirst. It is used metaphorically to describe those who painfully feel their want of, they eagerly long for, those things by which a soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. This speaks about a devoted desire for righteousness in your heart and in your life.
Amen.
Now, it's one thing for someone to say, preacher, I'm really trying to live for God. But it's an entirely another thing to really live for God.
Right.
Oftentimes I've had people with all kinds of problems in their life say, "Preacher, I just can't hardly get my life together." And God will send a message that'll help their life, but then they won't be faithful to the house of God. And they drift away from the things of the Lord, and their life just continues to get more miserable. And the further from God they get, the more miserable they are inwardly. They don't have joy. They don't have peace. Listen, they're not enjoying life. They're enduring their life. And God never set it up that way. If you're enduring your Christian life, now something's wrong. You ought to be enjoying your Christian life. Amen. And so that expression is given here of a hungry and a thirsty man that's desiring with all of their heart to be close to the Lord. It's to crave Christ and Christ's likeness. It brought my mind to Psalm 42 verse 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panted my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. Just as water is essential to that deer, we know that water is that Christ is essential to our spiritual life.
Right.
You're not going to be strong spiritually if you're not seeking God.
Right.
You're not going to be strong spiritually if you're not reading your Bible.
Right.
You're not going to be strong spiritually if you're not devoted to your prayer life.
Right.
You're not going to be strong spiritually if you're not faithful to the place of worship right. that God has placed you in. You're not going to be strong spiritually if you're not submitted to the pastor that God's put in your life to feed you and instruct you in the things of God. And you're not going to be strong spiritually if your home's out of order.
Right.
You're not going to be strong spiritually tonight if you're just allowing things to go in disarray in your life. Oh no. But when we begin to seek God about every area of our lives,
right.
we'll find the strength of God and the joy of God will begin returning in our life.
Amen.
I pray tonight God do that for somebody in this service. The imagery is that of being hunted by hounds. The hounds of hell were hot on the trail of the individual writing this psalm.
Right.
And as he's talking about that deer is exhausted. That deer is at the end. And there's something inside that deer that drives that deer to go toward the water brooks. He knows there's health for him there and help for him there. And you know what? That's the way it is for you and I as God's people. I'm thankful I know where my help's at.
Amen.
I'm glad I know that my help comes from the Lord. Thank God I'm glad for other people that encourage me. I'm thankful for other Christians that inspire me. Other Christians that are there for me along the way. But I don't tell you nobody can help me like the Lord can. And I'll tell you what, there's sometimes that hunger begins to develop. And I just got to get alone and get with God and spend time with Him. Hallelujah. The greatest days of my life are time that I'm spending in pursuit of the Lord and desiring to draw near unto God. And so the psalmist knew that just as it was essential to the natural life of that deer, it was essential to his own spiritual life to thirst after God. It's more than just the substance. He's wanting the Lord personally in his life. He's not just looking for things to get better in his situation. He's looking for the Savior. And I want to say tonight, that's where we need to get as God's people, that we're hungering and thirsting after God. That deer's been given a natural instinct to go to that water. And can I tell you, when you got saved by the grace of God, God put something in you that desires inwardly righteousness. Paul said in Romans 7:22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." I know we have a battle of this old flesh nature. I understand that. I want to tell you something. There's something on the inside of every born-again believer that desires to be right with God and desires to fellowship with God and desires to commune with God. And when that inward longing's not satisfied, we are an unsatisfied people. I'm telling you, nothing will satisfy you like Jesus.
Amen.
You can try everything you want to try, but nothing will satisfy like
That's
Him.
Right.
The expression is that of great hunger and thirsting. In the context of Matthew 5, it is that of not just a momentary need, but it is intended by God to be a lifelong desire.
That's right.
The Christian journey is to be built around a pursuit of God.
A
desire to walk with Him. You see, the Bible tells us if we'll walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of our flesh. Walking speaks of progress.
Right.
If I'm standing still, I'm not making any progress.
Right.
You know where most Baptists are? They're either standing still or backing up.
Yep.
God don't want you standing still.
Right.
If you're in the same place you was 5 years ago spiritually, I'm telling you, something ain't right. God wants you to be maturing and growing and going for the glory of God. Hey, thank God for the progress along the journey that God lets you and I enjoy along the way. I'll thank God for that tonight. I'm thankful I'm not what I used to be. And I'm ashamed that I'm not all I could be. But thank God I'm not all I'm going to be either.
Amen.
I'm glad the Lord's still working on me. And I'm thankful that when I got saved, He positionally sanctified me. I'm thankful the Spirit of God is progressively sanctifying me. But there'll come a glorious day that I'll be perfectly sanctified when the Lord returns and He calls us to meet Him in the air. And we'll be sanctified spirit, soul, and body forevermore. I say hallelujah. What a joy it is to hunger and thirst after righteousness tonight. In my travels recently, I saw something that I never dreamed I would really see. I went from a meeting in between the services and I went to a McDonald's and got some coffee. Don't fault me on that. I was sitting in the parking lot just praying, seeking God, and trying to prepare for the evening service. And while sitting there, I watched a man walk across the road. And he came across with a backpack on his back and he opened the garbage can in the parking lot of McDonald's and he began to pick through that garbage can. And anything that he saw as maybe being edible, he was putting it in Ziploc bags and sticking it in his bag. No doubt the man was homeless. I pulled it out and was going to make my way back around the one-way entrance and offer to help him. When I got back around, he was gone. But the thought came to my mind as I'd considered. I just had preached this message, or I was planning to preach this message at the church, and I thought to myself, desperate times call for desperate measures. We are in desperate times spiritually. But the problem is I don't see a lot of desperate measures among the people of God. We can complain about how tough things are and difficult things are, or we can do something about it. You say, preacher, do you believe revival is possible? I don't only know that it's possible, it is a real possibility. It is something we can experience on a personal level, on a church level, on a community level. But the problem is, we're never going to have revival until we're hungry and thirsty after God again. Amen. You say, well, preacher, what if I stay exactly like I am? Then your Christian life's going to be exactly like it is right now. And it's not going to change. You see, somehow we've got in our mind in 2024 that God's just going to come down and do everything that needs to be done without you and I doing our part in our human responsibility. But the truth is, we're the hands of the Lord tonight. We're His mouth, we're His voice, we're His feet. We are the church of living God. We are His body and we are to be operating and doing the will of God. We're to be about our Father's business and oh, may the Lord help us tonight to get a hunger to seek God. I think we can all say tonight our greatest need is for the manifestation of God's presence in our own personal life. I'm talking about more than church as normal business. I'm talking about unusual business where God shows up and does what needs to be done in our hearts. In our lives. I'm not talking about that charismatic stuff. But I'm talking about Christ-honoring biblical things that God desires to do. But yet you and I hinder that from happening because we're not seeking God. The Bible said in Jeremiah 29:13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." You see, half-hearted Christianity brings about half-hearted results. If we're half-hearted in our praying, we're going to have half-hearted results. If we're half-hearted in our witnessing, we'll have half-hearted results. And so tonight, God wants us to understand whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Whatsoever you do, that encompasses all that we're doing for the Lord. Our preaching ought to be our all. Our studying ought to be our all. We ought to give her all in prayer. Ought to give her all in singing. Everything we do, give her all to the glory of God. Can you ask yourself tonight, are you really giving all? Are you holding back?
Right.
You see, it's easy for us to give her all in deer hunting season. It's easy to give her all down at the Bass Lake. It's easy to give her all in the things we enjoy in this present world. And there's nothing wrong with those things in their personal place. I'm not saying they're wrong of themselves, but I am saying this. It's amazing how we can make time and take time and be devoted to the things we want to be devoted to. But when it comes to God, where's the devotion in this hour? You see, I've spent the majority of my ministry following those old-time men of God that saw the revival days of old. that lived their lives in pursuit of God day in and day out, that had great prayer lives, that have stayed the course and stayed faithful, and they've been through the troubles and the trials, and they've been put down and they've been run down, but they just keep pressing on for God's glory and honor and praise. Listen, if some go with them and they back up and leave, they just keep marching on. I say thank God for those old time men of God that knew something about the presence and the power of God. We let a generation today that's never seen a move of God or a manifestation of God run them down and talk about how wrong they were when they don't have any results to back up their own life. I think I'll just take the old highway. It was good enough to get us to where we are tonight, and I think I just want to stay with it. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, I don't want to go to the left or the right. I don't want to stay on the King's highway. I don't want to fall in the ditch on either side. I just want to stay on the King's highway and be pleasing and honoring to the Lord. As I studied this message, Brother Tommy Wenzel sent me a quote from A.W. Tozer, and it went right along with the message, and I'd like to include it tonight. He said, "The average Christian is so cold and contented with his wretched condition that there is no vacuum or desire in which the blessed Spirit can rush in satisfying fullness." And I begin to think, oh my soul, isn't that so descriptive of the hour which you and I live in, that we become. Listen, it's like was said earlier today about a message preached years ago, that we're faltering and we're falling in that Laodicean mindset in these days when God wants us to be a church of a Philadelphian mindset, but yet we understand that we're faltering and we're falling in the trap of this worldly mentality. Yes, lukewarm, self-satisfied. Laodicea says we have no need of nothing. You know, if you have no need of anything, that means you have no hunger.
Yep.
You have no desire.
Yep.
You have no drive.
Right.
That's descriptive of a lot of professing Christians in 2024. No hunger, no zeal, no drive, no desire.
Right.
They're not getting after it for God. They're not thrilled about mission conferences or revivals. Listen, I'm telling you, friend, God ought to help us understand. If we can see tonight from heaven's point of view, most important thing going on inside of Madisonville, Kentucky tonight is not what's going on at the ball field.
Right.
It's not what's going on in the local politicians' offices. Oh no, the greatest thing going on in this place tonight is what's going on in places like this where God's people are meeting around the Word of God and seeking the Lord to move in our own heart and our own life and speak to us and help us to draw near to God. Oh, may the Lord help me tonight. Hey, if nobody else gets anything, may God put a greater hunger in me to pursue God and thirst after God. There's the expectation of the seeker. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
The confident expectation of the seeker is that they shall be filled.
Yep.
Psalm 107:9 said, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness." Hallelujah. I want to tell you, friend, I've never got hungry for God and I left disappointed.
Amen.
There have been many times I've went in the prayer closet with my head held low, but come out the other side, victory in my heart.
Amen.
And many times my problems haven't changed.
Yeah.
Sometimes God can just supernaturally do it. You pray and come out and know God's already changed it and say hallelujah. But other times He don't change the situation.
Yeah.
But He changes the same.
Yeah.
I like it when God changes me.
Yes, sir.
And I get around Him and I get thrilled about being a Christian again. Get revived about being a child of God. And what a joy it is to be in His family. Oh my soul, may God help us tonight to realize there's a blessedness of really expecting God to meet in our heart and life.
Amen.
And trust the Lord. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is."
That's right.
I want to ask you tonight, do you believe that He is? Do you believe He's the all-powerful, all-wise, all-present God of glory tonight? Do you believe He still has all the abilities He's ever had? Do you believe tonight He's still able to work in this hour? Do you believe God can touch your situation? I'm telling you, if we don't believe that, we might as well not expect God to do anything for us. One of the reasons we're not blessed is because we don't believe nothing. Brother Reeves said that years ago, and I coined that. I said, praise God, that's good. He said the reason people don't get blessed in this generation is because they don't believe nothing.
Yep.
We really believe it. We really have that compassionate conviction that what God said is right.
Yes, sir.
It's going to transform us.
Amen.
You see, we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know why that is? Because there's pressures both sides. You're either going to be conformed to the world's pressure that's put on you, or you're going to be transformed by the inward pressure the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Is prompting and prodding in you.
Right.
One way or the other, your life's going to change.
Yes, sir.
But it depends on who you listen to, which way it's going to change.
Right.
I don't want to be influenced by the outside pressure. I want the Lord to work in me and help me. I think it's amazing. They say that comes from the same terminology which we get the metamorphosis of a caterpillar from. And you think about that caterpillar, how it crawls. It belongs to the land. It belongs to the dust of the earth. And that's what you and I in our natural flesh are. Our natural flesh, all we are is just earthly, fleshly, powerless. But through that metamorphosis, through that change, it becomes heavenward born.
Amen.
It has the ability to fly. It becomes beautiful. Yeah. It becomes what it used to not be.
Right.
That's God's design for you and I.
Yeah.
That's His desire for you and I, is to get rid of the old part of us so that new part of us can excel and soar for the glory and honor of God. I'm telling you tonight, God don't want you living a status quo Christian life. He wants you to excel with the Lord tonight. And the expectation is that God will do it in those that are diligent seekers of God. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That word diligence means that really there's an effort put into it. Years ago, a preacher friend of mine had a man approach him. He's a great Bible student. And this man said, "I'd give anything in the world to know the Bible like you know the Bible." And he wasn't being arrogant about it, but he said, "Brother, you never will." He said, "I started studying my Bible systematically when I was 18 years old. He said, "You're way up in years now." He said, "Just the due process of time, you'll leave this world before you have the opportunity to ever develop that kind of knowledge of the Word of God."
Right.
See, if we could really understand that every day goes by is a day we never get back. If we could do as Moses tells us in the 90th Psalm, the Lord teach us to number our days when we apply our hearts unto wisdom, I think it would help us all understand that every day goes by as an opportunity to draw near to God.
Amen.
But every day that we don't draw near God is an opportunity that's been wasted.
Right.
And a time we'll never get back.
Yep.
You see, the Lord may put on Brother Shepherd's heart to have another revival somewhere down the road. He may even extend an invitation for us to come back sometime. But here's the thing, it'll never be like it is this week.
Right.
Circumstances will be different.
Yep.
The congregation will be different. There'll be different things in every one of our lives. It'll be different. But see, what we get from God this week, it's essential we get what God has for now.
Amen.
Not just wait on God to do it sometime later on. Amen. The expectation is that we'll receive. The Strong Concordance says this shall be filled describes an abundant supply. This is the Canaan land Christian life. I think it's amazing. Pastor and I have said and talked about just generic things. We've not talked about any need in this church or anything in this church because I like God to tell me what to preach. But he's mentioned a message he preached years ago that goes along with that mindset there, how that, you know, there are some people that are living down the land of Egypt, the land of not enough.
Right.
That's where the sinner lives.
Yep.
They're in the bondage of Satan and sin. Yep. And the only way they're ever going to get out is by the blood of the Lamb and the power of God.
Right.
And then, of course, after they're saved and delivered, there's the wilderness land. That's the land of just enough. That's where the most people in our churches are living. Just enough church to get by.
Yep.
Just enough money in the plate on Sunday to get by.
Right.
Just enough Bible reading to get by to say they've read the Bible. Just enough. They're content with just enough.
Right.
They don't want to face no giants to get in the land of Canaan.
Right.
They don't want to give up anything. They don't want to fight any battles to gain ground and go further with God.
Right.
The majority of people live and die their Christian existence in the wilderness.
That's
But oh, there's some that have another spirit like Joshua and Caleb.
Amen, amen.
that said we be well able to overcome and give us that land. We're ready to go. They trust and believe God. You see that one crowd, they magnified the problem. But the other crowd magnified their provider. Hallelujah. One magnified the difficulty of the land. But the other crowd magnified the divine Lord that was going to go before them and fight the battles. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if it all they had to do is trust God, and Canaan land would have been theirs. But then we know that many did not enter in, and they failed to an evil heart of unbelief and departed from the living God. Then there's the land of more than enough. That's the land flow of milk and honey. That's the land of joy. That's the land of happiness. That's God's perfect will for your life. That's where you're living that life sold out and surrendered to God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's greater ground to gain for us as God's children. And even when they got in that land, not all of them possessed all they're supposed to. They remind me so much of me and all of us. How God was going to do such extraordinary things for them, and many times they were their own worst enemies about what God wanted to do in their life. How many is that the same thing true in our lives today? God will speak to us and say, I want you to give this up so you can grow in your knowledge and your grace, in the grace of God, and come closer to the Lord. And we'll become obstinate and stubborn and say, God, I won't give that up.
Right.
You'll never give up anything for God. You won't find He's got something better waiting for you.
Amen. Right.
I've never had to lay aside anything that God didn't have something better prepared. The devil will lie to you and tell you can't exist without it. But I'm telling you, friend, if you'll pursue God with all your heart, there's not a better life to live than a life lived for His honor and His glory. What a joy to serve the Lord. John chapter 10, Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life. God's desire was to send His Son so we could have eternal spiritual life. But He didn't stop there. And that they might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
I don't want to just be content to have life. I want to enjoy the abundant Christian life.
Amen.
I want what God has for Preacher Tommy tonight.
Amen.
I want to enjoy the Canaan land of my Christian existence.
Amen.
I want to walk in the fields of victory with my Savior, my valiant captain of the host. Amen.
Right.
I don't want to just go through this thing half-hearted, come to church and say, God bless me if you can. And if you don't bless us today, I'll just stay home tonight and rest.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Listen, I know how it is. I've been around Baptists long enough to know. I've heard every excuse in the book. In the first church I pastor, I said, I'm going to put a notebook on the communion table, and instead of telling me, just write your excuse in there, and when I need a good laugh one day, I'll sit down and read them. Because I've heard everything that can be told about why we can't serve God and live for Him, and why we can't be there at church, and why we can't do this. I understand there are times that we cannot be. But I want to say this, God knows the difference between a reason and an excuse.
That's right.
Sometimes people are looking for a reason not to be.
Right.
That'll never fly in the court of heaven, I promise you that.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want to move on. Number four, in closing, there's the enemy of the seeker. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 22, verse 7. Or 27, verse 7. Proverbs 27, verse 7. The Bible said in Proverbs 27, verse 7, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Now, oftentimes we've lost our appetite for the things of God because the truth is we're so full of the wrong things.
Right.
I think there's never been a busier hour than the hour we live in.
That's right.
We have so many things that distract us and divert our attention away from God. And if we're not careful, we get so consumed with things that really don't matter. We leave off what really does matter.
Yes, sir.
Amen. May God help us to see that when we lose our appetite, sometimes it's because we're full of junk.
Right.
You know, even the sweetest, most delightful things of God are refused when somebody's filled with carnal things.
Right.
There was a time when preachers would stand and and I've heard them talk about them old-time soldiers of the cross. They said years ago, they'd stand and take 5 minutes to just exalt the blood a little bit, and altars fill up, people getting saved.
Yes, sir.
Churches would get on the altar begging God to save their loved ones. Just a few moments of even exhort, not even preaching like we're preaching today. Right. And God would move in mighty power. And somebody said, what's changed? I tell you what's changed. We've changed.
Right.
Churches are so full of the unnecessary that we have no room for what is necessary.
Right.
We don't have room for God. You see, the fact is, in the book of Revelation chapter 3, at the conclusion of the church age, he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If I understand the context correctly, he's talking to the churches. The church at one time he walked in the midst of, that there's going to come a time at the end of the age he's not even welcomed or wanted in.
Right.
He's knocking. He's desiring. Somebody said, does God want to send revival? I believe that verse says God wants to.
Yes, sir.
I believe it says he's willing to.
Yes, sir.
But anybody ever notice there's a change in the end of that, in chapter 3, there's a change. He's been addressing the churches. But then he changes to address, if any man will hear my voice. You see, I think the truth is everybody in these last days are not going to hear and heed God. But the promise is this, anybody and everybody that'll hear the voice of God and open their heart up and say, Lord, I want to commune with you. I want to be hungry and thirsty after God. You can have revival. Hallelujah. What constitutes revival? Well, Vance Havner said it's falling in love with Jesus all over again.
Amen.
Do you love the Lord like you did when you got saved? I mean, were you so thrilled about being a Christian you told everybody you seen?
Amen.
Let me tell you what happened to me the other day.
Yeah.
I went to church lost, got under old time, Holy Ghost conviction. God is hanging me out over hell. But then I heard about Calvary.
Amen.
And I made my way to the Lord Jesus and I called on His name. And thank God He forever saved me and set me free.
Yes.
What a joy to be saved.
Yes,
can you remember that first love?
Yes, sir.
You not lost it, but you might have left it.
Right.
God help us to grow with Him. And then I thought about this. When we're consumed with the temporal, we lose sight of the eternal. The hungry soul in Proverbs 27:7 said this about him, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Even the most difficult, even the hardest truths of Christianity are sweet to those that are seeking God and loving Him. You see, it's hard to offend somebody that's in love with Jesus.
Amen.
Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Amen.
Somebody that's all the time getting upset and offended and troubled about every little thing coming going, you know what's wrong with them? I can promise you they're not hungry and thirsty after God. Because if you're hungry and thirsty after God, all it's going to matter is you pursuing the Lord.
Amen.
You'll let that other stuff just go right on by and you'll keep pursuing God. Oh, we need that in this hour. We stand on our feet tonight. How hungry are we for God? How desperate are we for revival? What's a prayer life like? I would dare to venture to say that the prayer life of God's people all across the land is probably in the worst condition it's ever been in tonight. I'd say the average church, the relationship of most members to their Bible is probably the worst it's ever been. Instead of wondering where God is, we ought to start wondering where's our thirst and our hunger and our desire to pursue Him because we need Him. Wonder how many just like to join me in this altar tonight. Say, Lord, I want you to revive my hunger and my thirst after God. Altars, people already coming, people in their pew getting in the floor all over the building. But how many of you just like to join me tonight and say, we want to seek God tonight. We don't want to just go through a meeting Won't we just take a week aside and just be here, hear a few good messages, say amen, but we really want God to do something for us. By chance, there might be somebody here tonight that's unsaved. If you need to get saved, He loves you. He died for you. He wants to save you. He's willing to save you. And if you'll come to Him, He will save you. If you'll come with a repentant heart and take Christ by faith. Whatever you need from the Lord, you do business with God tonight. And I'm going to get down and pray myself and ask the Lord to help us tonight in this service.